What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we're going to start today's show off with a little bit of a rant. This time, you know, it's against stupid, retarded Hall of Fame voters yet again. This time, not the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's usually who my target is when I'm talking about Hall of Fame voters. This time, for once, it's actually the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters because, you know, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest coach of all time, the coach with the most Super Bowls of all time, one of the winningest of all time coaches ever. He was up for his eligibility this year. He should easily be, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? No, they decided not to vote for him this year. Some of the voters, not all of the voters. And apparently what happened was, that whiny little cunt, Bill Polian, you know, he used to be the GM of the Indianapolis Colts when they used to get their asses kicked all the time by the New England Patriots, even though they beat the Patriots a couple of times as well. But, you know, Bill Polian, he was the GM at the time, and he's obviously a big, whiny, worthless cunt. And he led a little charge against, Bill Belichick should not be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he's a cheater. And basically what he's pointing out is Spygate and Deflategate. Well, let's start off with Deflategate, shall we? I have already ranted against Deflategate because it was a witch hunt. It never fucking happened. Nothing about Deflategate is real. None of the balls were deflated ever at any fucking point. That was a stupid, worthless witch hunt, specifically against the greatest football player of all time, Tom Brady. Okay? So Deflategate is a joke. It's a proven fucking joke. So let's start there. Second of all, Spygate. That's just stupid. I mean, come on. Are we serious here? That is not why the Patriots won all the Super Bowls they did. A, that was supposedly for 1 year. Also, other teams got in trouble for it too, just not at the same level. And that's why you're going to keep Bill Belichick out of the Hall of Fame because he's obviously going to get in. But this year was a little bit of a punishment because he shouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it's like, do you know just how much you just discredited the Hall of Fame? Like, that's what you did. Because I'm sorry, Bill Belichick is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Easily. Bill Belichick is one of the greatest fucking football coaches of all fucking time. And also, what's so despicable about this, too, is Bill Belichick is a lot like me. When it comes to the sport of football, he is a historian of the of football. I love the history of football. I research the history of football. There are so many fucking players and things about football that I know because I love everything about football. And Bill Belichick is the same. He is the same type of dude where he loves the history of football. He loves every aspect of the sport of football. And little cunt-ass Bill Polian, who's in the Hall of Fame, by the way, is upset and he's got his little panties in a wad and led a little bit of a charge. And now Bill Belichick, they haven't technically announced who's been inducted into this year's Hall of Fame yet because they wait until next week, right before the Super Bowl. That's when they announce it. But it leaked that he apparently didn't make it. How funny would it be if we all got all up in arms and he actually ended up making it? But it sounds like he did not make it. And that's just bullshit. That's so stupid. It's so petty. It's so lame. And it's so retarded. That is the only fucking word to describe you stupid, shitty voters who did not vote for Bill Belichick. You're retarded. Absolutely fucking retarded. Anyways, so Belichick is not into the Hall of Fame this year. He probably, like I said, probably will next year. They had to, because, by the way, Bill Polian was also the cunt who led the charge against Terrell Owens as well, because Terrell Owens is one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Hands fucking down. Statistically, his statistics prove it beyond a reasonable fucking doubt. And he had to wait a couple of years as well because Bill Polian is another one of those cunts who's like, T.O. not really team player. He not team player. So we have to hold him back as well. And T.O. is in the Hall of Fame now. But still, he had to wait because Bill Polian's a cunt and other people who didn't vote for him are cunts. And that's just how it goes. Sometimes you got these little cunts who get their little panties in a fucking wad and they lead their little charge and they finally get their little cunt mode. Well, guess what, Polian? You ain't even got half as many Super Bowl rings as Bill Belichick got. Guess what? You still don't. You're still a whiny, ugly, raisin face looking cunt. That's what you are. All right, so that's my rant for the day. And let's get into the week of basketball, because we did have a really solid week of basketball. We had a crazy battle between two rookies last night. So let's get into first beginning on Monday night. The Cleveland Cavaliers got a big win over the Orlando Magic, 114-98. Donovan Mitchell dropped 45 points. It was actually a battle between Donovan Mitchell and Paolo Banchero. Banchero also had 37 points and 10 rebounds, but he came up on the short end of the stick on that one. And Cleveland walked away with the win, 114-98. Big win for Cleveland. Cleveland's actually on a little bit of a roll this week. I'm going to be mentioning them definitely one more time, maybe a couple more times, but definitely one more time this week because they got some big wins this week. Then also on Monday, the Lakers got a win over the Chicago Bulls, 129-118. Luka had a night. He had 46 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds. LeBron James also dropped in 24 points as well. Then we had the Houston Rockets take down the Memphis Grizzlies, 108-99. Kevin Durant had a huge night, 33 points, 8 rebounds. And then Shane Goon also had a huge night as well, 33 points and 9 rebounds. Houston just keeps on rolling. Then on Tuesday, another team that keeps on rolling, the Philadelphia 76ers took down the Milwaukee Bucks, 139-122. Joel Embiid is starting to get hot, y'all. He dropped 29 points and 9 rebounds, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Joel Embiid. It's really actually nice because for once, there's not a lot of pressure on him, and he's having a monster season so far. I kind of feel like Joel Embiid is going to be a dude who dominates the second half of the season. It's just looking like it. And then also in this game, Paul George had a huge game, 32 points. And then Tyrese Maxey continues his domination by dropping 22 points as well. Then the Detroit Pistons took down the Denver Nuggets, 109-107. Cade Cunningham had 22 points, 11 assists. Tobias Harris had 22 points and 8 rebounds. And Jalen Duran had 14 points and 8 rebounds in a nice all-around solid dominating win by the Detroit Pistons. Then on Wednesday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers smashed my Los Angeles Lakers, 129-99. It was a pathetic showing from the Lakers, by the way. The first half, they looked okay. Second half, it just was garbage. It was a garbage fest. It was terrible. But shout out to the Cavaliers for absolutely dominating the Lakers. It was all-around team effort, by the way. Donovan Mitchell had 25 points, and then Jalen Tyson had 20 points as well. And looked like this could potentially have been the last time you're going to see LeBron in Cleveland. I mean, he was actually shedding some tears. So it's kind of looking like maybe this is LeBron's last year. I mean, he hasn't announced anything, but I mean, just kind of, you know, he did get a big standing ovation as well, as he should. Because if there's any team that should be bowing down to LeBron James, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. So shout out to them for giving him his flowers, as they should. But terrible, terrible game from the Lakers all around from everybody that night. Then the New York Knicks finally got on the winning side of things against the Toronto Raptors, 119-92. Bridges had a huge game, 30 points. Karl Anthony Towns had 8 points and 22 rebounds. And OG Anunoby, he's actually been turning it on big. But even so, the Knicks not on the winning side of things a lot lately, but in this one they were. OG had 26 points in this one. in a 119-92 win over the Toronto Raptors. And then also on Wednesday night, the San Antonio Spurs had a great game against the Houston Rockets. This was a back-and-forth affair to start, but then the Spurs ran away with it in the fourth quarter. They got the win 111-99. Victor Wembanyama had 28 points, 16 rebounds, and De'Aaron Fox also had 18 points. It was just a nice, all-around solid win by the San Antonio Spurs. And then Thursday night, big game between the battle of the rookies last night. These two rookies actually were on the same team last year with each other in college. They were on Duke, and they battled it out last night. But this, it went down between Con Knipple and Cooper Flagg. But Knipple actually got was on the winning end of things in this one. The Charlotte Hornets got the win 123-121 over the Dallas Mavericks. Knipple had 34 points. Cooper Flagg had 49 points and 10 rebounds. 49 points from a motherfucking 19-year-old rookie. What? It is just nuts to see what Cooper Flagg has been doing over the last couple of months. It is fucking awesome to see. But still, he was on the losing end of this one. Knipple actually knocked down the key free throws in the end and got the win in the end. Then also last night, the Phoenix Suns got a big win over the Detroit Pistons with no Booker, by the way. They got the win 114-96, and it was Brooks. Dylan motherfucking Brooks. This guy is having a resurgence with the Phoenix Suns. He dropped 40 motherfucking points last night. 40-0. So, yeah, the Phoenix Suns still on a tear. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves got a big win over the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, 123-111. And I'm noticing these last couple of games that the Timberwolves have had against the Thunder, they're doing exactly what you should do. Let SGA do what he do. Let him drop all the points he can and then see if anybody else could step it up besides him. And they were not able to do that. As a matter of fact, Minnesota played an excellent team game last night. Edwards had 26 points. Gobert had 14 points and 11 rebounds. They played solid on the defensive side of the ball and got a huge, huge win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, since, you know, this is the week before the Super Bowl, we have no football this weekend, which just absolutely sucks my ass. So with that being said, let's recap my 2025 NFL season predictions. See how I did. See who I predicted as I got the Super Bowl. Did I get the Super Bowl 60 predictions correct? I'll tell you no right off the bat. No, I did not. I did not get either team correct, and I did not get the champion correct. Let's see how far off I was. This is always my favorite thing to do, to recap and just see how terrible I did with my predictions. So let's start off with how I felt the NFC was going to go this year. My number one overall seed, the Detroit Lions. Nope, they didn't even make the playoffs. My number two overall seed, the Dallas Cowboys, didn't even make the playoffs. My number three overall seed, the Los Angeles Rams. So there you go. They did not win their division, but they did make the playoffs. Number four overall seed I had as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Didn't make the playoffs. My number five overall seed I had is the Chicago Bears. They did make the playoffs and they won their division. Number six, I had the Washington Commanders. They did not make the playoffs. And then number seven, I had the Arizona Cardinals. Did not make the playoffs. Notice Seattle Seahawks, nowhere to be found in there. Then my AFC season predictions, I had number one overall seed, the Buffalo Bills. They made the playoffs, but nowhere near the number one overall seed. Didn't win their division either. Number two, I had the Baltimore Ravens. Didn't make the playoffs. Number three, I had the Houston Texans. They did make the playoffs, but they did not win their division. Number four, I had the Kansas City Chiefs. Did not make the playoffs. Number five, I had the Los Angeles Chargers. They did make the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they were the number five overall seed, as a matter of fact. Number six, I had is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, that's about where they ended up. And then number seven, I had the Denver Broncos. So I did think the Denver Broncos were going to be good, but not that good. So that's how I felt the NFC and AFC was going to turn out. My NFC championship matchup I had is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Detroit Lions. Neither team made that. My AFC championship game, I had the Baltimore Ravens versus the Buffalo Bills. No, neither team did that. My Super Bowl 60 matchup, I had the Detroit Lions versus the Baltimore Ravens. Wow, how far off was I on that one, guys? And my champion, I had the Baltimore Ravens. I had them finally doing it. No, not only did they not make the playoffs, not only did they not go anywhere, they also fired their coach. So that's how I had the NFL season turning out, and it did not go anywhere. I did not have the New England Patriots anywhere. I did not have the Seattle Seahawks anywhere, and that is who our Super Bowl 60 matchup is going to be. So that's how far off I was this season on my NFL 2025 season predictions. So, speaking of NFL, the cool thing about this Super Bowl is that, Sam Darnold, he's the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, and he's been kind of a rebound quarterback. He's been that quarterback who was drafted by the New York Jets and had a terrible time there. Then he went to the Carolina Panthers. Then he went to the San Francisco 49ers. Then he went to the Minnesota Vikings. Actually had a pretty good season with the Minnesota Vikings last year. And they were like, nah, we don't want you, homie. And then he ended up signing with the Seattle Seahawks this year. Having a pretty solid year. And now he is in the Super Bowl. And so with that being said, my top five this week is going to be called the top five rebound quarterbacks. And it's basically what they are is a quarterback who was basically counted out. And then they signed with a new team and ended up either going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. And by rebound quarterback, we are not talking about Tom Brady, you know, a guy who went and won six Super Bowls with the New England Patriots and then would go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and win another Super Bowl with them. Nah, because we all know Tom Brady was not a rebound quarterback. We all know tons of teams wanted him. It's just the Patriots were moving on. And so was he, and that's how that went. We're also not talking about a guy like Peyton Manning, who had a great time with the Indianapolis Colts and then would go on with the Denver Broncos and win a Super Bowl with them. No, we're not talking about him because Peyton Manning was not a rebound quarterback. We're also not talking about like Matthew Stafford, a guy who would have a great career with the Detroit Lions, and then they would just eventually trade him to the Rams, kind of just because that's how it went. It was just that time. No, I'm talking about rebound quarterbacks, dudes who were completely counted out at one point with one team and then signed with a new team and then eventually would either A, go on to go to the Super Bowl or go on and win the Super Bowl. These are rebound quarterbacks, dudes who were completely counted out at one point or another. So let's begin it with number five on my top five rebound quarterbacks, Kurt Warner. Not Kurt Warner's first time around with the St. Louis Rams. This is actually Kurt Warner's second time around. When Kurt Warner was with the New York Giants, well, actually, basically, when he was with the St. Louis Rams, his last couple of seasons, his second to last season with them, it was basically marred by injuries. Then his last season, he actually did end up losing his starting job, and then, of course, it was marred by injuries as well. And then he would end up signing with the New York Giants and backing up Eli Manning. And nobody really expected Kurt Warner to go anywhere, do anything after his time with the Rams or even with the Giants. And he would ultimately end up signing with the Arizona Cardinals. They kind of expected him to be the backup behind Matt Leinart, as a matter of fact. So his time with the Arizona Cardinals was from 2005 to 2009. And in that time frame, in the 2008 season, that was actually the best season he had with the Arizona Cardinals because they would actually, he would, Leiner going into preseason was going to be the starter and then Kurt Warner would end up winning the starting role and ultimately end up starting this entire season. And not only would he end up starting this entire season, but they would win their division. They would back their way into the playoffs because they were like an 8-8 team, so not really that good. But hey, they still made the playoffs, and they would go on this amazing run. Now, it was really led by Larry Fitzgerald, but don't get me wrong. Kurt Warner and his experience absolutely helped them in this run, which would ultimately lead them to Super Bowl 43, in which they would lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a last-second drive. The Cardinals played it. This is one of my favorite Super Bowls ever. It was back and forth. It looked like the Cardinals were out of it until the fourth quarter, and then Larry Fitzgerald had one of the craziest touchdowns of all time. The Arizona Cardinals would take the lead, but then the Steelers, they would drive it down the field, and Ben Roethlisberger and Santonio Holmes have one of the greatest game-winning pass catches of all time. But in this season, everybody thought Kurt Warner was done. And instead, what did Kurt Warner do? He took his team all the way to Super Bowl 43 and actually would just end his career, of course, with the Arizona Cardinals. But he would have a nice little second half run of his career when everybody thought it was done after his run with the St. Louis Rams. Then at number four, I'm going to drop five rebound quarterbacks, Fran Tarkenton. So Fran Tarkenton actually started out his career with the Minnesota Vikings in the pre-Super Bowl era. But then, you know, he kind of butted heads with the coach at the time, and they would ultimately send him to the New York Giants. He actually had a pretty decent career with the Giants, but then the Giants, they kind of went through some things, and then they would actually trade him back to the Minnesota Vikings. And they were kind of thinking like, Fran Tarkenton ain't really going to go anywhere. He's just going to kind of be a journeyman, and that's it. Nah. As a matter of fact, Fran Tarkenton would have the best run of his career. And Fran Tarkenton, if you have not seen it, go watch some Fran Tarkenton highlights. That dude was a beast mode motherfucker. And from 1972 to 1978, with his second stint with the Minnesota Vikings, he would have just a beautiful run. In 1973, they would go to Super Bowl VIII. Unfortunately, they lost to the Miami Dolphins. Then they would go to Super Bowl IX the following year, but they ultimately lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then they would go to Super Bowl XI in 1976, but they also lost to the Oakland Raiders in that one. And then in 1975, he would also win the league MVP as well. So as you could tell, four out of the 5 years that he was there during that run, he was playing at a high level. Took them to three Super Bowls. Granted, they lost three of those Super Bowls, but he won an MVP, would have an amazing end to his stellar Hall of Fame career. And Fran Tarkenton, definitely one of those top five rebound quarterbacks. Then at number three on my top five rebound quarterbacks, Jim Plunkett. Now, Jim Plunkett, he was drafted number one overall by the New England Patriots. He was Rookie of the Year. He was supposed to be this dude. He actually took the Patriots to the Super Bowl, in which they would get their asses beat in that Super Bowl. But so he kind of became a journeyman after that. Like, he just kind of started to fall off. He would eventually go to the San Francisco 49ers, and then he would ultimately find his way with the Oakland Raiders at one point. And he's the backup, too. He's not expected to go anywhere. And during his time with the Oakland Los Angeles Raiders, his run was with them from 1978 to 1986, so a pretty decent run there. But like I said, he was supposed to just be a backup. Well, guess what? In 1980, he would take over the starting role and would ultimately win Super Bowl 15 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Then in 1983, he was once again the backup, but then he would take over the starting role once again in Super Bowl 18, and they beat the Washington Redskins in that one. He also ended up being comeback player of the year in 1980 and would just ultimately go on. I mean, he won two Super Bowls. Come on. So he goes from top of his game, basically like Sam Darnold, where he's number one overall pick. The world is on his shoulders, and then he just falls and is careening every single year. He's falling and falling and falling, and then he's a journeyman and starts to find his way through. He's ultimately just a backup quarterback, and then boom, takes over and wins two Super Bowls. There you go, Jim Plunkett. Then at number two on my top five rebound quarterbacks, Steve Young. He would start his career off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then he would go to the UFL, and then he would find his way to the San Francisco 49ers. And he would back up. He was with the San Francisco 49ers from 1987 to 1999. And he backed up Joe Montana for many, many years. And there was almost every year it was like, so is Steve Young going to take over at the starting role? Is Steve Young going to take over the starting role? Is Steve Young going to finally take over the starting role? And finally, he eventually would. And but you got to understand, when he took over, he was taking over for Joe Montana. Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the greatest football players of all time, one of the most beloved San Francisco 49ers of all time. And you got to understand, at the time when they put Steve Young in, this was not a popular decision because he's taking over for Joe Montana. Joe Montana. If you aren't aware, Joe Montana was the Tom Brady before Tom Brady was the Tom Brady, right? Joe Montana is who he took over for. And so you got a lot of expectations to live up to. Well, Steve Young absolutely lived up to them. He would go on to win Super Bowl 29 in 1994 against the San Diego Chargers, and they obliterated them. He also won two MVP awards in 1992 and 94, and just would ultimately go on to have a Hall of Fame career. But at number one on my top five rebound quarterbacks, and I knew he was going to be number one because, I mean, the career he would go on to have. And it's just, I remember this guy's career. I remember how it started. I remember when he was counted out. I remember the offseason he had to get to where he got. I remember how everybody was like, oh, yeah, like he's going to go on to do something. And not only would he go on to just completely turn his career around, he would go on to turn around an organization that was a complete and utter laughingstock. Number one on my top five rebound quarterbacks, Drew Brees. He was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. And he was supposed to be the dude. And, you know, he had some good years with the San Diego Chargers, but they just could never get over the hump. And unfortunately, Drew Brees' last year with the Chargers, everybody knew it was going to be his last year. They just couldn't come to any type of contract agreement, so they knew he was going to be a free agent. And what would happen to Drew Brees in the last game with the San Diego Chargers? He lands on his shoulder awkwardly and tears his rotator cuff in the last game of the season on his throwing shoulder. So at this point, you're thinking, oh my God, is his career done? And only two teams were looking into Drew Brees in this offseason, the New Orleans Saints and the Miami Dolphins. That was it. He decided to sign with the New Orleans Saints. And at this time, the New Orleans Saints were the laughing stock of the motherfucking league. And nobody's thinking Drew Brees is going to go on to do anything. So Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints, his time with the Saints was from 2006 to 2020. You know what Drew Brees would go on to do? He would actually go on to win a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. They would win Super Bowl 44 in 2009. Not only would they beat the Indianapolis Colts, they kicked the shit out of the Indianapolis Colts. This Indianapolis Colts team, by the way, was so dominating. All of us thought, oh God, they're easily winning. Nope, the New Orleans Saints came out and just gutted the Indianapolis Colts and got their only Super Bowl win in franchise history. But Drew Brees not only would turn this organization around, but he would turn his own career around. He hasn't been inducted into the Hall of Fame yet, unless the stupid voters do the same dumb shit that they do with Bill Belichick. But Brees is actually up for Hall of Fame this year, and they didn't say he didn't make it. He probably made it because he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, you know, he would go on to become one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He actually owns NFL records that currently stand to this day. Right now, he has the highest completion percentage in a season. In the 2018 season, he completed 74.4% of his passes. He actually has a 7-touchdown game that's tied. I believe Peyton Manning's the other one. I could be wrong, but somebody else has 7 touchdowns, and it's Drew Brees. And then the most consecutive games with a touchdown, a passing touchdown. He has 54 straight games with a passing touchdown. And then he also has the most 5,000-yard passing seasons with five 5,000-yard passing seasons. So Drew Brees, that was easily number one for me on Trap 5 rebound just because he was so counted out. And then he gets injured, and then he's even more counted out. And then he goes to the New Orleans Saints, who are literally a laughingstock. Their fans wore bags over their heads, and they went to the Super Bowl. And then not only did they go to the Super Bowl, like they had to overcome all that Hurricane Katrina shit, where they potentially almost were going to move to LA, and then they stayed in New Orleans, and it just was this huge, huge influx of support for the New Orleans Saints and just the fan base that it is today. You can thank Drew Brees and Sean Payton and that New Orleans Saints team for doing that. And so, yeah, Drew Brees, number one on my top five rebound quarterbacks. So let's see what Sam Darnold could do this year. I mean, the fact that he made it to the Super Bowl is just awesome. But if he wins the Super Bowl, just the way his career started, you know, being drafted number one by the New York Jets, and then just completely careening into the ground, and then just being a journeyman quarterback, backup, 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 being completely counted out, and then he would have this great season last year with the Minnesota Vikings, and they're like, nah, we're not going to re-sign you. And then so he goes to the Seattle Seahawks and just has this very solid year, and now he's in the Super Bowl. So that's my top five this week, and enjoy the light weekend of sports, because we don't have a lot going on outside of basketball for the most part. But enjoy the weekend of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.